Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. Welcome to Afternoons with me, Bill Arnold. Thanks for being with me today. I always love this time together, and when you are listening and sending me notes and letting me know that you're liking my guests, I really appreciate that, because I really pray hard and work hard, and Rebecca works hard to try to find the kinds of guests that are going to make a difference in your faith walk. And got another one just like that coming up in this hour, so it's going to be great. I want to give you a great verse from Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." I'm just feeling very thankful today, which is a good place to be every day. I think there's some days I'm feeling less thankful, but today I'm feeling very thankful. And I'm very thankful that I have an opportunity to get back together with my buddies that we did this comedy night with on March 16th. Remember that? If you went to that, you know you had fun, and we heard all about it from tons and tons of listeners, and it was such a big hit that we thought, well, we'll go to some of our other listening areas, and we will meet some of the other listeners. So May 31, we're heading to Bethel Church in Fargo. So all you friends in Fargo listening on 102.5 FM or 1200 AM KFNW, get your tickets. It's going to be a really fun night. I promise you'll have a blast. All right. We've got Dr. Putty Putman on the show. He's written a book called Kingdom Impact, Living Like Jesus in a Broken World. We're going to find out all about that after 60 seconds.
I'm Neil Stave, a manager of Faith Radio. May is one of my favorite months. It's a time of growth and renewal. And that's the season we're experiencing here at Faith Radio as well. Adding 107.5, our new FM frequency in Sioux Falls, represents the 17th radio signal for this ministry. Expanding our reach has been made possible thanks to your consistent support. To be a part of this growing outreach, make your gift online anytime at myfaithradio.com.
Faith Radio is good news you can count on.
Just as he stood one day outside the tomb of Lazarus and shouted, "Lazarus, come forth!" He's going to come back from heaven and shout to all of us, "Come forth from your graves and come up to heaven to be with me."
He called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
My guest, Putty Putman, was ready for college. He headed over to Bethel University, right across the way in St. Paul here, and he majored in physics, and then he went to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign for graduate school in physics. So we have virtually nothing in common. Putty, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you came to Bethel, and you met your beautiful wife, Brittany, here, and now three kids.
Sure did, yeah. I love my time up there, except a little cold in the winters.
Well, it's not a little cold, Putty. It's horribly cold. Terribly, miserably cold.
I was trying to be gracious, I suppose.
Yeah. So your book, Kingdom Impact, Living Like Jesus in a Broken World, way to go. I saw you got a nice endorsement from Michael Heiser, who I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, he's a good friend, too. He's a great guy.
He is a really good guy. I really like him. So interesting, just looking at, you know, the path of life that you've been on. You've got a degree in theoretical physics or something?
Yeah, I don't even know exactly what, right.
How is that applying in real life? What do you do with that degree?
Well, that's a complicated question because right now I am a pastor.
Well, I know that. I know. I was just trying to get into the academic part of this theoretical physicist. I'm just so curious about people's jobs and careers and education. I just don't know how that gets. I'm just curious how it gets applied into like a real job. Do you teach, or is that like the normal course for that that path?
Yeah, there's a couple of places it could go. One of them would be like a research institution, so okay. like a government lab. Another place would be university, where you'd be teaching and doing research. A third place, actually, that a lot of people don't realize would be finance.
Okay.
Finance companies actually hire more physicists than anything else, because finance is essentially the physics of the stock market. And then another application would be most tech companies keep a few physicists around because they have some kind of vested interest in technology, and physicists tend to be good at understanding and working with technology. So there's a number of different career paths that you can take.
Yeah. So in your book, as you get things started, you talk about kind of a life-changing experience you had in China. I think you were doing some missionary work kind of under the radar. Tell us what yep. happened over there.
Yeah. So, it was actually my first time back to China. I had when I was quite young, when I was about 8 years old, my parents up and moved us to China for a year to be missionaries there. And so that deeply shaped me, as you can imagine it would. And returned back to the States, you know, grew up, did all my schooling, all of that. And in time, the church that I was attending while down in Champaign-Urbana for graduate school started a partnership up with China, where we would send kind of 10-day trips, 10-day teams for 10 days to go train and work with like house church leaders and stuff. And so I jumped on one of those quite eagerly because I had always wanted to go back to China. I was never sure if I would have an opportunity. And along the way, it wound up being quite a adventure. A little bit of background for myself. I grew up in the same stream that Bethel College was in. My dad actually worked for what was formerly known as the Baptist General Conference from the time before I was born until he just retired about a year and a half ago. And so I was very steeped in that expression of Christianity. And I found myself attending a vineyard church for while I was in graduate school, because I had some friends that were attending, and I knew I wanted to stay plugged into a community faith. Well, for me, there was a lot of dissonance there. I was not familiar with the Holy Spirit. I was not familiar with kind of overt expressions of the Spirit or anything like that. And so I was personally just very closed, and honestly, probably judgmental would have been a better word for it. And so this was kind of my posture. And then meanwhile, I wind up taking this mission trip to China. And after I'd signed up, I paid the deposit, all that, I talked to the team leader and I said, "Hey, what's the point of this trip?" And she says, "I'm really excited because for this trip, we're going to go and we're going to train house church leaders how to pray for the sick." And, you know, for me, not being particularly open to the Holy Spirit, I'm like, "Oh, goodness, this is the last thing I want to do," you know. But I had already paid about $1,000 deposit. You know, I was like, "I'm going to go on."
You're in. You're in.
Yeah, I'm in. So I kind of begrudgingly say, "Well, I'll go. You know, you guys can do that, but I'll go along for the trip," or whatever. Now, while I'm there, we're working with the house church leaders. We are doing some of the training to teach people how to pray for the sick. I'm kind of sitting there just kind of more or less checked out. And the team is doing an exercise where they're listening for words of knowledge, kind of intuitions, impressions of the Holy Spirit's leading for what to pray for. And while we're all sitting there, I'm not paying a lot of attention. All of a sudden, my left forearm just starts feeling very odd. And it was very noticeable, very tangible. And I kind of remember thinking that was definitely not happening earlier. I don't know what's going on, but I suppose I'll just kind of mention this in case it's, you know, a God thing or something like that. You know, who knows? We're in China, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I share that, and this one gal says, "Oh, hey, you know, I sprained my wrist 6 months ago, and the doctors have never known why it hasn't healed. It hasn't healed right. They're confused. They don't know why." Now, just a little bit of background on me. You know, I'm trained as a theoretical physicist. And so I'm processing a lot of things as a physicist. And up until that point, most of what I had seen modeled involved kind of generic type things with rather large groups of people. And so, you know, if I get up in front of 200 people and I say, "I feel like the Lord is saying someone here has back pain," You know, as a physicist, the way that I process that is like, I know that like, just, you can't pick 200 people and not have someone with back pain. Like, statistically, right, it's essentially not possible. So, you know, I'm processing all this through statistics and stuff. Well, we're in a room of about 12 people, and I say left forearm, which is specific and odd. Now, a lot of people have issues with their left forearm. And this one gal goes, well, my left wrist has issues. And I go, huh, that is really weird. And as I'm kind of processing that, trying to think about this from, again, processing it from a scientific point of view, the team leader is saying, oh, well, you know, since Putty got the leading, Putty gets to do the prayer. And so next thing I know, I'm the one who's modeling this prayer in front of everybody. And I don't believe in this stuff. I don't do this stuff. I don't think it's real. I'm judgmental, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here I am. I'm kind of like, I don't know how to talk my way out of this. She's just told them all I'm going to do it. You know, they're expecting me as the, you know, foreign missionary to be great at this. And so I just kind of decide, you know what, I'll just kind of fake it or something. You know, I've seen people do this plenty of times. I mean, nothing ever happens, but I've seen people do it. So, you know, I'll kind of pretend my way through it, you know, and we'll just kind of go for it. And so, you know, every time I'd always seen people kind of do the same thing. They ask a few questions about the situation, and then they pray this prayer, come Holy Spirit, and they ask the Holy Spirit to come. And so I'm like, I can do that, you know? And so I do that. And when I invite the Holy Spirit to come, he basically invades the hotel room that we were meeting in. We were meeting in a hotel room because you have to be creative with the house church in China. And he invades the hotel room, drops on this gal that we're praying for with like a ton of bricks. She just buckles and drops into a heap on the ground. And I'm not, doesn't fall forward, doesn't fall backwards, just collapses like straight downwards. Simultaneously, about half the gathering that's all standing in a circle around us watching, about half of them respond. A number of them take kind of deep gasps of air, and I hear them thump, 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 start falling over and all this kind of stuff. Just kaboom, the whole room goes unglued. And it, we move from sort of classroom to war zone in about 5 seconds. And I'm kind of stunned because I don't believe in this stuff. Like, none of this is real. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, I don't do this, and this is happening. And, you know, I'm kind of taking it all in and what's happening and here and there and everywhere. And I'm a little bit in shock. And while I'm processing all of this, I turn back and I look at the gal that we're praying for. And she's down kind of sitting cross-legged on the ground, and she's twisting and contorting and making faces and all of this. And I look at her, I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And so I asked the team leader, what is she saying? And the team leader responds to me, oh, she's manifesting a demon right now.
Whoa.
And I said, she's what? And she says, she's manifesting a demon. And the thought that I had was like, oh my goodness, like, I don't believe any of this. I have no idea how to deal with a demon. Like, what on earth is happening? So fortunately, my good Baptist training kicked in, and I thought, hold on, I've read all those stories in the Bible where Jesus casts out demons. There must be something I can learn from that. So I start pulling my memory, and, you know, I'm like, well, Jesus just kind of commanded them to leave. So I guess that's what I'll do. I'll just command these demons to leave in Jesus' name. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. And so I start commanding the demon to leave, and she's kind of back and forth. She's lucid, and then the demon's manifesting. She's lucid, she's manifesting, and for some reason, I just kind of had this sense that I should stick with it, and so I did. And eventually, she kind of like shudders and goes, whoa, it left. And I'm like, what left? And she says, you know, that this like dark cloud that I just feel like hanging over my life all the time, it left. Like, it just left. And I thought, huh. And I said, check out your wrist. And she kind of rolls her wrist around. She goes, my wrist feels great. I think it's healed. And so she gets up off the ground, and she's stunned. You know, everybody else gets up off the ground. They're all stunned. And, you know, they, of course, immediately are like, that was amazing. And, you know, they're asking me all these questions. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, I'm more stunned than all of you, you know, because I know what I believe about this stuff, and that it's not true, you know, but somehow apparently that didn't stop it from happening. And so that wound up being a real pivotal point in my life.
Okay, Putty, I'm going to have to ask you to just hit pause for a second, and we need to take a short break, but I'll be right back. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, I didn't mean to keep you waiting for that full 90 seconds. We are back. Dr. Putty Putman is our guest. His book, Kingdom Impact, Living Like Jesus in a Broken World. All right, I'm kind of on the edge of my chair here, Putty. So let's go back to that hotel room. You've created, or what has been created by the Holy Spirit in this room feels pretty chaotic from what you thought you were getting yourself into.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely chaos. I mean, especially when he first kind of came into the room and the room comes unglued, you know, there's people all over the ground. You know, there's people sobbing. There's people shaking. I mean, it was mess. It was a mess. But, you know, what happened after that whole experience, which kind of freaked me out, was I came out of that, and kind of the way I processed it was this. I said, you know what? I really don't understand the packaging. I don't understand why it was messy. I don't understand why it seemed out of control. I don't understand why it felt as, you know, unexpected or weird as it did. But what I do know was I saw God tangibly and concretely change a gal's life probably more in an hour than I had ever seen anyone else ever change before. Hmm. And I said to myself, you know, the packaging confuses me, but I really want to be part of God changing people's lives in that profound a way. And so as a result, that became a turning point for me. I kind of continued to lean in and ask questions and learn and grow. And, in time, that has kind of led me on the path I'm at now.
Do you think that some of it had to do with where you were geographically? Do you think you would have had this experience in Utica? Oop, did I lose you?
You mean... I'm sorry. I feel like you're breaking up just a little bit here. Are you asking?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. The question I asked you was, do you think part of this experience had to do with where you were geographically? You were in China having an experience like this. Would it have been different if you were in the States here? Do you think if... You were in China, so I'm just wondering if this had anything to do with it.
Sure. No, that's a great question. And I've asked myself that question too. I think it is probably not out of the question to suggest that it may have had something to do with it. You know, the church in China is really different from the church in America, and it's really kind of exploding, and the Holy Spirit is just doing a tremendous amount there. One thing that I found is very interesting, though, which I did not expect, because I've subsequently been back and continued to work with the church in China a fair amount. And what I didn't expect but have discovered is that while there is probably, you know, by any definition, revival happening there, it is not it's revival kind of in the sense of like old school revival, like salvations and repentance and mass, which is amazing. Like, I'm grateful for it. It is very little Holy Spirit ministry. There is very little praying for the sick. There is very little charismatic gifts and experience in the church in China. It's much more consistent with what we would think of as kind of a non-denominational evangelical, but not particularly charismatic expression of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think, you know, China is a special context to some extent. But I'll also say that, you know, every element that I saw there, I have since seen in many different countries, including the United States. And so I don't think I would say it was unique to China, although,
sure.
It was probably extra attention getting, because of the very, different context I was in. You know, you're sort of more open in an environment like that.
Oh, sure. But regardless of where you are, there's going to be an invisible spiritual war going on in our everyday experiences. Would you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kingdom Impact is largely about the message and the ministry of the kingdom, you know, that Jesus says. Jesus comes, he proclaims that gospel of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when you begin to unpack that and ask, well, what does that really mean? What is Jesus really saying about our lives? One of the key elements is, as you said, that our life exists on the battle lines of a great spiritual battle. You know, the forces of evil are real. Jesus, while he overthrew Satan, Satan is still alive and active on the earth. His power has been broken, but he has not been rendered completely ineffective yet. And so he has evil forces that are attacking this world and trying to subvert it to his desires, his wishes. And of course, what Jesus shows us is that God is not passive on that battlefield, but that God is also active as well. His kingdom is advancing. And so the battle lines of that fall in each and every one of our lives. We live our life on the backdrop of a great spiritual battle, and that affects our lives in 100 ways. I just find that a very important context for us to be keeping in mind. You know, we don't live in a world where, you know, all of that is distant and far away and uninvolved. It's very much real and tangible in our lives. The enemy has an agenda for us. He is working towards it, and God has an agenda for us, and the Holy Spirit is working towards that. And both of those show up in our life on a day-to-day basis.
So, Putty, you know, I think you're right about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. What does God want us to be learning, and what does he want to be teaching us? Because maybe we don't talk about them very much.
You know, one of the conclusions I've come to is that, you know, if we want to be followers of Jesus, then we have to do the ministry that he did. And there are a lot of layers to his ministry. One of them is the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of healing the sick, the ministry of driving out demons, you know, things like that. And we can't really say that we are fully followers of Jesus if we are not following the ministry pattern that he gave us. And so, while I don't think that I would say that that's everything that is Christianity, I do think it's a significant element. And, you know, I think, one of the amazing things about the Holy Spirit is when you look at the scriptures, the overarching message is not the Holy Spirit is for a few special gifted people. You know, Jesus says these sweeping statements like anyone who believes in me can do the same things I do. Mm-hmm. You know, not just pastors, not just people with a specific gifting, you know, not just any category that we would subsequently introduce that would say, well, they can do it, but I can't do it. Jesus seems to be very inclusive. And, you know, when the Holy Spirit gets poured out on, you know, the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up, he goes, the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, you know, mm-hmm. not some, but all, you know,
yeah.
young and old, male and female, you know, rich and poor, every group is included. And so, you know, I think it's amazing it's a radical invitation to do the amazing things that Jesus did, and it's on the table for everybody.
Yeah,
nobody's excluded.
Yeah, Putty, I blew this. I did not allow enough time for us to continue this discussion. So I would just invite you back, and I will call you again because I would love to continue another half hour with you.
That'd be great.
All right, Dr. Putty Putman has been my guest. His book is Kingdom Impact, Living Like Jesus in a Broken World. We'll take a break and be right back. Too long ago, I was in a town where I saw a marquee, and Tony Bennett was in there singing, and the marquee said, Tony Bennett sings. I thought, boy, how appropriate is that? Because he steps on stage and just lets him out. If I were to construct a marquee for Troy Schmidt, I would say Troy Schmidt writes, because, boy, he got a bunch of books, and the book I want to chat about today is called Fish Sandwiches. That doesn't have your attention. I don't know what's going to have it. Troy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. You know what would get their attention? If I started singing and trying to be Tony Bennett, that would definitely get people's attention.
Yeah, no kidding. But it's I'm looking over your list of books, and I want to read all of them. So, way to go.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I mean, I'm truly not going to.
I might be the only other person that's done that.
Yeah, I'm truly not going to read all of them. However, I'd like to. You know how that goes.
Yes, good. Well, the intent is most important.
Thank you so much. Now, when it comes to fish sandwiches, and of course, you know, for writing a Christian book, it's going to get a lot of people's attention going, what is he talking about? And I think we're talking about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, which appears in all four Gospels.
Oh, you're exactly right. And you know, and I always looked at those ingredients. I saw bread and I saw fish, and I don't know why. I just put it together and went, well, that's a sandwich, right? Isn't that how you would make a fish sandwich?
I would think so, yeah. And why wouldn't they make fish sandwiches?
So it kind of became this metaphor throughout the book of that blessing that they received in the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000.
Troy, why do you think that this is getting so much attention in each one of the Gospels? I mean, there are other miracles, you know, every bit as cool that only maybe appear once in a Gospel, but this shows up in all four.
Yeah, because, you know, if you wanted to get, you know, the high-profile ones, you'd think, like, walking on water.
Sure.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Right?
And oh, yeah.
It's a storm, you know, calming a storm. That ranks up there pretty high. But they don't get in all four. But this one does, and Jesus does it again. And that makes it extra unique. He only is going to resurrect once, and that's all he needs. But and that's the greatest miracle, of course. But when you look at the second greatest, you go, here it is. All four of the writers all said, I got to put that in my book. And then Jesus says, I got to do this miracle again. And it appears in two Gospels, the feeding of the 4,000.
So you started writing this book early on in your writing career, and this goes back to, like, the early days of you just getting married, right?
Yeah, so, you know, I was writing different things, and I always wanted to write a, you know, kind of one of those Christian inspirational book. Max Lucado was my hero. I loved his books. I loved his style. And I went, I want to write a book like that. So this is like 20 years ago. So I started putting some things down, and I was going, I probably will never get into the shape I'd want it to get into. But, you know, I tell writers all the time, perseverance and getting through rejections and everything else will get you eventually to that goal that you want in life. And even though I've written other things, you know, Christian joke books or children's books or other things, I've always wanted this kind of book. So I sat on it, and I was just waiting for the right time, and I felt God was saying, now is the time. And I was finally able to release it. NAF Press scooped it up, and boy, they've just done a great job. I mean, everything, content and cover and everything, they're great to work with.
Yeah. Troy, I'd love to talk about some of the greatest hits out of this book. I mean, obviously, when I think of the miracle, I've always been amused by how movies have depicted this happening, where, you know, the fish show up and the loaves, and then all of a sudden they've got this never-ending basket of fish coming out of it, you know, which looks like kind of a cool magic trick. But how have you envisioned this?
I watched those movies too, and I always paid close attention to
I'm
that
sure
miracle.
You did.
And they would do things like, I don't know, there was some sort of a table in one of them that happened to be there. I don't know what that was about. It wasn't mentioned in the Gospels, but, and he was like pulling them out from under the table. And I thought, okay, well, that's pretty good. Another one, he would take a basket and just sort of hand it, and it was already full. And I liked that because that seemed to be just out of nowhere. And I tell you, I really can't imagine how this worked. How this was logistically, it happened to get, and this is the other thing, you know, when you talk about, they only counted the men, so there's 5,000 men. Mm-hmm. Let's presume each man probably had a wife, maybe a child,
mm-hmm.
at the very least. Let's say it's 15,000. How do you get all freshly baked bread, warm out of the oven, cooked fish, broiled, I don't know, however it was prepared.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get all of that out of nowhere? It is pretty astounding when you think of it. And logistically, it's just going to blow our minds. I mean, I can't imagine it. Whatever it was, it stunned all the writers. They said, we got to put it in our Gospels.
Yeah, I mean, this is a major catering issue that successfully got pulled off. And because it is a miracle, I know Christians just largely go, yep, I buy it all. And I do, but I still have wondered, and I'll probably go to the information booth in heaven going, okay, tell me how that worked.
Show me me how that happened.
Exactly.
But it wouldn't be a miracle if we could somehow sort of figure it out in some way.
That's true.
I mean, and really, it is easier for us to sort of say, how did Jesus calm the storms? Well, that's easy. He's the guy who created it. Mm-hmm. So he can obviously turn it off and turn it on. Walking on water seems more plausible. I mean, we can sort of see that. This one is kind of mind-blowing, and just getting all of that food out to all of those people at one time.
Mm-hmm. Talk about, Troy, if you would, the promise of God being able to meet our needs, and just the promise of provision that we every day wake up and hope for and pray for.
Huh. I don't know how many, I'm a pastor also. I'm a campus pastor at First Baptist Church Windermere. And so, we get a lot of people, a lot of needs that come in, and people that want, money, food, those sort of things. And, it's easy to just sort of hand them a gift card or something and fulfill that need. And we can be the active provision. But, I love to take them to, places like Matthew 6 and just sit and talk about why do we worry about all these things? Because that's what most people do. They come in worrying, God, oh, I need food. Oh, I need clothes. I need a place to stay. And I go, well, did you go to him? I mean, have you really asked him to provide for you? And as you go through those, what they say, Matthew 6, 25 to 34, Jesus is just saying, I got you. I mean, I'll take care of you. The feeding of 5,000 was really just one meal for 15,000 people at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very satisfying meal. And what I love about this miracle is what it says is that's a simple need for one person. Jesus is saying, I see that you're hungry. I'm here to meet your need. And I'm going to get that fish sandwich to you in an amazing way. And so as an individual sitting somewhere alone saying, oh, I got the rent bill and I got this, the electricity is going to get turned off and my kids are hungry. I don't know what to do. Do you believe that there's a way that Jesus can meet that need if he could feed 15,000 people at one time? A nice fish sandwich. He can do it, and he proved that he can do it. He has the power to do it, to provide for you wherever you are and whatever you need.
That's really comforting, Troy.
Yeah.
I really like that. I mean, yeah. you stated it well, of course, but it's a great image and a powerful message, of course, which I love. Would you talk about the difference between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000? I'm not sure people focus on that very often.
Yeah, they don't. I'm surprised. I've been looking at it for a long time, but I'm surprised people go, there was another one? There was a 4,000? It's like, yeah, it's in there. Matthew talks about it. Mark talks about it. And it's in sort of passing, but the whole narrative of it almost follows exactly like the narrative of the 5,000. Here are all these people. There were people in front of them. Jesus has compassion on them. And then he says, how are we going to feed these people? And so what's interesting about it is there's about a chapter or so difference in both of those Gospels between the last one. So we would presume from that the feeding of the 5,000 happened first and then the 4,000 happened. And so people go, okay, why do the apostles go, well, how are we going to feed them? I don't know how we're going to feed them. Weren't they just there at the other one? But it's all wrapped up in where they were at. I've been to Israel, and I walked in that area, and the area is called Kersi. It's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where the Gentiles lived, the non-Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So what I believe is that when the apostles went over there, this is like the same area where the demoniac was healed. And you remember how nervous they were going over there for that.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are going back to that area. And he goes, I have compassion on these people. I'm going to feed them. Their first thought was probably something like, these people? You want to feed these people? These aren't the Jews. You came for the lost sheep of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we over here thinking about that? So it was really their deep prejudice against the people that was saying, well, there's no way that you're the Messiah for those people also. But Jesus saying, oh, yeah, I'm here to feed them too. And that's why that miracle, I believe, was repeated. He first fed the Jews. It's obvious in the first one. They talked about Passover. It was during the Passover time. And the second one, where they're talking about in that area, was in Gentile area. And so that miracle is saying, I'm here for the Jews. I'm here for the non-Jews. I'm here for all people. And I will feed them all, and I'll provide for them all. I am the God of the world.
Wow. Troy, let me take a little break. I'm talking to Troy Schmidt. He's written a book called Fish Sandwiches, The Delight of Receiving God's Promises. So we'll take a little break and be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I'm enjoying the conversation with Troy Schmidt. He's written many, many books. What's the number, Troy? How many books?
I probably over 30. There's a number of things. Some of them self-published and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just write all the time, write every day.
That's what writers do. Writers write. So
that's what writers do, exactly.
Yeah. The book we're chatting about, which is so fascinating, is called Fish Sandwiches. Great title. The Delight of Receiving God's Promises. So, Troy, safe to say that when we believe that Jesus can supply our needs so easily, that should probably have an impact, or it should, on how we approach him for our needs.
Yeah, he is saying that he is readily available. One of the first things that I talked about was attention. That's one of the points, I think, the promise that God is paying attention. And so here he is seeing, you know, 5,000, as we talked about, 15,000 probably people. And he has enough awareness to know that these people need something to eat. Now, if you have 15,000 people standing in front of you, is that probably your first thought? You know, probably something like, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know, you're thinking more about yourself. But here he is. He's looking at them. He's saying, I want to feed all these people. They just seem hungry. I think that's the way – You know, he's thinking about us. It's like, well, what can I do to meet their need? He's paying attention. The second thing is that he has compassion. So he's paying attention, but he also has a heart. He wants to do something for them. And so I think what I wanted to bring out in this book and to encourage believers who are reading it is to say he knows exactly what's going on in your life. He has a heart for you, and he wants to meet your need. He wants to provide for you in some way. That's the encouragement, I think, of this miracle that, I hope people wouldn't just skip over and go to the other, you know, high-profile miracles, but they just sort of stop and really pay attention to all the nuances of this miracle and all the things that are going on in it.
Mm-hmm. When I think of John 6:26, and after the feeding miracle, Jesus pretty much calls out the desires of the crowd for only being interested in his ability to provide food. So do you have some thoughts on the words he used there?
Yeah, I think in John 6, he's talking to the Pharisees during that time. And it's where he talks about that he is the bread of life. This is kind of it's the last point I make in the book about eternity. It's the promise of eternity. And it's interesting that bread, which, you know, is a metaphor throughout the Gospels, fish pop up a lot too. And so in the book, I'm trying to put those all together. But here he is talking about bread. It's communion, right? I mean, you think about bread, you think about communion. And he's really saying, I am the bread of life. If you consume me, you're going to get eternal life. That's pretty bold words to say in front of, you know, all the Pharisees that are there in front of him, but controversial also at the same time. But what a statement for those that are trying to find true, you know, satisfaction in life. He says, very truly in verse 32, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They go, sir, always give us this bread. They love all the things that he has to say about it in this passage. But he finally says, well, that's me. I'm the one who can feed you all of this. For them, controversial. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? You're just a man standing in front of me. For us, it's where we need to go for all of our provision, for all of our needs, where we need to go to get that eternal relationship with God.
Troy, we love our personal benefits, don't we? I mean, when Jesus feeds people, thousands show up. You know, when he teaches, hundreds show up. When he goes to the cross, nobody shows up.
That's a great point. That's a great point. When there's danger,
yeah,
you know, where is there when they scatter?
Yeah,
right. It's like
yeah.
The sheep. Then the shepherd gets hit, scattered. The sheep take off and scatter. Yeah, exactly. It. That always seems to happen. We should be the types that are always running to the need. And you know, Christians do that. I mean, I love when there is a disaster. The number one thing I hear, it's all the Christian organizations that are there to help. And they're the ones that stay for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And provide that bread of life and provide that that hope to the people that are out there. Man, that is just one of the best things that I hear during that time. So, yes, I will admit there are times in my life where I've run, but the times when I've run to the need,
mm-hmm.
Difficult, definitely, but always rewarding. You always get the blessing as a result of that.
Yeah. I'm a little stuck on when you were talking earlier about people who might wander into your church, might be homeless, might be wanting food or clothes or something, but what about the person that wanders into your church that came in a Lexus SUV that's concerned about paying college tuition? I mean, I would say the fear might be the same.
Yes. Yeah. There's definitely, you know, we all have very similar sort of needs. I think we have to sort of step outside. And again, what I'm trying to do in this book is sort of step outside and go, what's our real need?
Mm-hmm.
What is it we really are looking for? And some people find satisfaction. I mean, a poor person can find satisfaction in the same things that a rich person can find satisfaction in. It's just the rich person has more of a means in order to attain those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say we are the same in those sort of areas. You know, you look at some of the controversy going on right now of, you know, the individuals in the college tuition scam, you know, the scandal that's going on with all that. And what are they seeking after? Well, they're seeking after satisfaction. You know, they're seeking after some sort of, I don't know, notoriety, or they want security or something like that. Those are all the things a poor person would look for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this miracle says to you, if you just dine on what God gives you and just be happy with that, a simple little miracle during the day or just the provision that God gives you, you just focus on that, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to be satisfied. Once you try to go beyond that, that's when we get into trouble, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Troy, we have a couple of minutes left. I know the listeners would love to hear about your experience in TV and script writing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's where I started. That was always the dream coming out of college. I went to Los Angeles. I went out, you know, stayed in people's, slept on people's couches, would do whatever I could do. I worked a few days on like movies like Terminator, Tina Turner videos, game shows. you know, all kinds of things. It was just whatever there was work, I found something. And then eventually I got to work at the Disney Channel as a an assistant, and one of the executives had a show they were doing called The Mickey Mouse Club. And I've always loved sketch comedy, always watched things like that. And so I said, well, I'll turn in some. And got a got the opportunity to write for that show from 92 to 94. The 30th anniversary of the show is we're actually celebrating this week. So very exciting. Some of the old Mouseketeers are coming back and the crew members. But worked on that. And then I also worked on Hermie and Friends, which was just a great honor to work on the now late Tim Conway, Don Knotts, who also passed away, and to work with Max Lucado, who, as I said at the beginning of all this, was my hero, the guy whose books I wrote and said, I want to write like him. And, you know, he endorsed this book by giving me a little quote here on the cover. But Hermie and Friends, I worked with on that. And then the American Bible Challenge with Jeff Foxworthy. We did three seasons on GSN. And what a hoot that was to be able to take a Bible to work in Hollywood.
No kidding.
And go to the offices and to be the, you know, the Bible, whatever, expert and producer and mm-hmm. making sure that everything was just sort of stayed biblical and working on questions and everything from the Bible. It was so much fun. So that's just some of the stuff that God has, opportunities God's given me. I'm really blessed by Him. It's awesome.
Yeah, a really lovely career, and all the book titles that I look at that you've written, they're all look very interesting. And not to mention, you're just really a likable guy. So, thanks for. Thanks for doing the show.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this and talk to you, Bill.
Well, and also you're busy as a pastor of a church, so you get to be preaching weekly and teaching, and that's again the greatest work there is.
So it's as a campus pastor, I do not have the speaking. And I think that's how I'm able to hold both of these jobs at the same time.
Okay.
So I don't have to prepare messages. I have to sort of take care of the flock and make sure everything is here. I do get the opportunities to speak. I am speaking in a couple of weeks. And guess what I'm going to talk about?
I'm guessing fish.
Fish sandwiches.
Can you even eat a grilled salmon fillet and not think about God's provision in this story?
I can eat a McDonald's fillet of fish and think about it. So,
well, thanks so much for doing the show, and just appreciate meeting you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Yep, Troy Schmidt has been my guest, and his book that we've been chatting about today is called Fish Sandwiches, The Delight of Receiving God's Promises. You need to go look at all the books he's written. You can just look through and pick out a couple titles, and I bet you'll pick out winners for sure. It's something that interests you. We'll take a little break and be right back.
Thanks for being part of the family of Faith Radio.
Well, it's been around a long time, and it's been fairly constant, and I like that they're fairly even and not way out there, so that's what I like about it.
I have been active with BSF for a while, and that's what turned me on to your radio station, so it's been about 12 or 13 years, and it's been...
Thanks so much for listening to the show. I hope you have enjoyed today. I know I have. I'm sad to think of the passing of comedian Tim Conway today. He made me smile and laugh so many times, as he also did make my mother laugh and smile. We did that together quite a bit. Have a great night, everyone. I will see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.